Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking all things Tennessee Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Nick Suss from the Tennessean, who covers the Tennessee Titans. Nick, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, y'all. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for taking time to be with us. We appreciate it. So, Nick, obviously, this has been a very busy offseason for the Tennessee Titans via the draft, trades, free agency. They've covered really everything you can cover in terms of the moves that they've made. What do you make of the job that Rand Carthon did this offseason, and how well-positioned do you think Brian Callahan is in year one to have a significantly improved team this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say anything new here, but look, it all depends on how good Will Levis ends up being. The entire offseason is built around the idea that you give the guy everything he can, and they have. Like I can't look at this offense and quibble with anything of, oh, well, they need a little bit more here, they need a little bit more there. With what was available, I think they went out and got just about everything they need to test if the quarterback's good. But who knows exactly how good a quarterback is until you actually get to see him play in the system. And I'm excited too. I think that there are a lot of indicators that say this team can improve offensively. I like Callahan's scheme. I like Levis's ability to throw it deep. I like Tyler Boyd over the middle and in the slot. I like Calvin Ridley as a number one if DeAndre Hopkins isn't the number one. I like DeAndre Hopkins as a one if Calvin Ridley isn't the number one. Maybe you wish for a little bit more true, like A1 level star power that some of these teams have, but I don't know. You positioned the team well. I'm still generally concerned about what the defense will be since there are so many new moving parts. I think that part kind of gets overlooked because there's so much excitement with the offense, but I mean, this is what going to be 8 new starters fundamentally, and a lot of people who are returning are playing different positions than they would have, and it's not just like a plug and play fix. So I'm really intrigued to see what that will be. But generally, if the question is how much has this team improved, probably a lot. Just in what ways, kind of hard to say so far.
Do you like the offensive line?
More than I did, yeah. I think that I am more sold on the J.C. Latham idea than I would have been a couple of months ago, just from interacting with him, talking to people who knew him. It seems like he can be the type of player that the Titans need to project forward instead of maybe just the ideal version of a textbook left tackle that people had before. The right side of the offensive line is going to be a patchwork situation at times, but I think that it's also improved if you got better coaching, if you've got better scheme, if you're less predictable, if you're more willing to pass on first down, run on short yardage, run on long yardage, use the running backs in different ways. I think there are ways to mitigate struggles in this offense that maybe weren't there last year. I think Lloyd Cushenberry might end up being the biggest pick up the offseason, which again isn't saying too much new, but yeah, I'm sold that there is more talent there. I like the idea of having 7 or 8 guys who can start instead of having 5 guys who can start and seeing what happens from there. But yeah, you're still going to have to figure out, can Skoronski be as good as he was projected to be? You're still going to have to figure out, is Latham a true NFL left tackle? You're still going to have to figure out who starts at right tackle. It's not like I'm set sold on it, but I do understand the vision, I guess.
So, Nick, based on what you've seen to this point, what gives you confidence that Levis has what it takes to take a big step forward this season? And on the other side of that, are there areas about his game that you're still hesitant on in terms of things you need to see improve?
Yeah, I guess that the biggest hesitancy at this point is still the same thing we said coming out of Kentucky. It's the hero ball mentality that at times he was completely rid of as a rookie, and at times he had to play. And now it's such a weird jump to make, because a lot of the stuff that he did last year you have to completely throw away because of the pressure. But when he was clean or when he was playing through the pressure, I liked the way that he, you know, fit balls into tight spaces. I liked the way that he never played afraid. I liked the way that he was able to lead the offense, and you see him in the locker room leading the teammates. I liked all of that stuff. Still just broadly concerned about, you know, playing to the game speed and getting through the progressions in a new offense. He told me probably in January or February when Callahan was hired that he's so used to the new offense idea with five coordinators in 5 years, but that's a lot of just shedding information. There's got to be a lot in his head that he's going to have to process, and he did a pretty good job of it last year of adjusting to the offense, but he also had 6 weeks to sit on the bench last year. This year you're getting thrown out week one. You always say you prepare as the starter, but now he is the starter, so there's not going to be a grace period of seeing how Tannehill does things first. He's got to go out and make this offense his own from week one, and I know they're building the offense around him, but you still have to question how the adjustment's going to go, because this is a guy who's never started week one before, who's never broken off season as the starter. So let's see how he handles that pressure and also just generally fits into a new system.
Obviously, Nick, any coach in Callahan's position, and there are coaches like that all over the league, asked about like their young quarterback, they're not going to say, yeah, I really wonder if this guy's going to be any good. I don't know. I mean, like, they're all going to probably say lean toward optimistic reviews at this point. But I will say in various interviews, like I just saw another thing last night. I was talking about this earlier. Like, but Callahan was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. It does feel to me like maybe he's been just really pleasantly, I don't know about surprised, but he's just really has liked what he's seen from Levis. Are you getting that sense too?
Yeah, and I've gotten that sense from just about everybody who's interacted with Will Levis. I mean, that's partially the appeal, it seems, is that people like working with Will Levis, whether it was at Kentucky, whether it's last year with the Titans, how quickly he won over the locker room, and now it's these guys. I do think that they see the markers or signifiers, whatever you want to call, of a guy who can be a good NFL quarterback. And I do think that obviously the talent's there. So the big question is just that unquantifiable, well, is it going to work? And that's the part that makes it so tricky with quarterbacks, is there are so many guys with talent and leadership skills and all these quantifiable metrics who still don't become Tom Brady. So I don't know, but to answer the question, yeah, I think that they do believe in Will Levis. I think that if they didn't have these obvious, oh yeah, we're going to go with him things, they would have handled the draft completely differently. They would have handled free agency completely differently. They hit the ground running because they think this guy can do it. And whether or not he can, it's almost 100% up to him and how he plays, but they've given him everything they can because I think that's what they wanted to do. That's what they thought was the right thing to do. And if it works out, they're going to be competing on a much quicker timeline than anyone gave them credit for.
So, Nick, on the defensive side of the ball, do you think the roster as currently constructed has enough to rush the passer, whether that's straight up, whether it's the addition of Denard Wilson and the style he's going to bring defensively? How do you view the pass rush part of this team right now?
Short answer, not really. I think that there's going to be a good job getting interior pressure, but when it comes to actually bringing down the quarterback, I do think that they are a little bit lacking there. I'll say that I was a little bit low on Jalen Harrell and kind of came around more as I watched him, but that's still the fifth to last pick in the draft that you're projecting as maybe your situational edge rusher, your third or fourth guy. Harold Landry was good in spurts last year, but he was definitely a guy who was putting up sack numbers without massive corresponding pressure numbers, and Arden Key has been up and down his entire career. He's had great months and he's had months where he disappeared, and that was a point last year. I do think that if you give this system a chance to flourish, there's a chance it can become much more productive with these guys, but assuming that Jeffrey Simmons and Devondre Sweat can create pressure up the middle, sure, you're going to have a really good interior defensive line, but it's yet to be seen if there's enough firepower off the edge for me to sit here and say they're going to be able to manage getting to the quarterback. Luckily, that's why you build through a secondary, and they like their cornerbacks. I like their cornerbacks at this point too, but you can't have them cover 5-6 seconds at a time. You do have to you do have to get to quarterbacks and rattle them a little bit.
Right. No question. I mean, I agree. The edge is problematic. I do think Tavondre Sweat, best case scenario of Tavondre Sweat is probably helps there. And obviously, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess best case scenario of him, and then best case scenario in terms of just a duet, you know, of Sweat and Simmons. But what have you seen so far from him? What do you think, you know, his range is?
The immediate comparison that kind of came into my mind was I was talking to Samuel Adams. You guys remember him from the 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
When he was drafted, he was essentially drafted to be like, hey, make sure Russell Maryland doesn't get those double teams. And those first 2-3 years of his career, he was essentially the make sure Russell Maryland is an all-pro guy. And it worked, and those Seattle fronts were really, really good. And then he gets to go to Baltimore and be his own guy, and he emerged as like a true all-pro, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL type guys. I think that's kind of the vision you have with Tavondre Sweat of, if his best case scenario his rookie year is that he makes sure teams can't double team Jeffrey Simmons, that's one heck of a best case scenario. And that's not even factoring in that he's going to be productive on his own. So if he can be a productive on his own guy, if he can be a top 28 defensive tackle in the NFL and free Jeff up to be a top 5 guy like he always has been, you're going to have a really good tandem up there, and I really like the vision of it. Now, if Sweat emerges as a top 10 talent, like some people think he can be, and plays this way where he's a three-down guy who can rush the passer as a two-gap defensive lineman while keeping his weight in a manageable position, yeah, you're going to have one of the better interiors in the NFL. And if you build up the middle, I think that you're going to really limit what opponents can do, and you're going to really defeat the purpose of a lot of offenses, because you talk to offensive people in the NFL and almost all of them are going to say the worst pass protector on a team is almost always the center. So if you can expose the center up the middle, that's the quickest way to the quarterback, and that's a really efficient way to make your defense better. But that's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie who we're still trying to see what he's going to be like in the NFL.
Well, Nick, really appreciate your perspective as always. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Nick Suss from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexwell. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to see the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Charlotte this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Sounds at home all week long, heading into the holiday weekend. Good time of the year to head out to the
ballpark. Gotta love it. Absolutely. Great time to be outside.
Great time to be outside. We're continuing to take your thoughts, your advice for Nick Kieser on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who's getting married this weekend. Your best wedding advice. I think Kieser is very uncomfortable that I continue to ask the text line for advice.
No, I wouldn't say uncomfortable. Okay. I'm just a little bit busy right now.
Oh,
sorry. Don't let us bother you, man.
I don't want to disturb you. All right.
My bad.
Yep, that's fine.
If you're ignoring our, you know, I know you ignore our show for a variety of interests on a regular basis, but the only thing acceptable is if you are like, if you're like practicing your vows in there on Nick Frazier. Doctor, you know,
just go answer the phone. Don't even worry about us. Go answer the phone.
Yeah.
Just answer the phone.
All right.
Jeez. Gosh. I know you guys are talking, but I'm a little busy right now, so we'll see you later.
It is a big week. Man, he's right back to it.
Yes. Appreciate right. Nick Suss for being with us in the last segment.
A lot of Knicks.
The Levis stuff, I guess I'll just start this way. I'll ask you the same question I asked Nick Suss. What about, you know, and you've been around Will Levis, you've seen Will Levis up close and personal. What about Will Levis gives you confidence that he's got the ability to take a big jump forward this year in this offense with this roster? And what are some things that you've seen from him that maybe cause you to hesitate a little bit as it relates to what we're going to see from him this year?
Well, the intangible things give me no hesitation. And we can go back to post-draft a year ago. I know for me, I talked to a ton of people like after the Titans drafted him. I was kind of surprised by some of what I heard, including from people that I didn't like quote in the story I wrote. But I mean, the intangible stuff, man, it is amazing how a couple goofy social media things can kind of spin a narrative and whatever. I don't dispute that some teams were bothered by him or whatever. He's very much like, that's the one of the criticisms I think is fair. Like, he wants it so bad that maybe some teams are like, dude, calm down.
Yeah.
Don't take my almonds or whatever happened, you know?
My Sun Chips.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
Yeah. Those are Cheddar Sun Chips, like the greatest chip in the world. But I don't have really any hesitation on intangibles. I think you've seen it. Like, I think he's going to do whatever he can do. And I really do think that some of what you've heard from Brian Callahan isn't heard as emphatically if, like, there's any stone that's not being turned over. You know, like, the intangibles, no hesitation. It's just the tangibles. I think hero ball is a good way to put it from Nick, although that's my secondary concern. But it's just, can you get it there every time? Compare it to a shooter. I like to compare quarterbacks to shooters in basketball. Can you stick it over and over and over again? When you get that little bit of space, do you have the muscle memory and the accuracy to be great as a quarterback? Because it's still seeing it quickly, delivering it accurately. Everything else as a quarterback in this league is secondary to that. So I don't know if he's good enough there. And then the hero ball stuff. But I think that could get him in trouble for sure. Your beloved, guy who steals from poor people, Brett Favre, his entire career, he had a hero ball issue.
I mean,
and he's still a Hall of Famer.
Some of that, right? Like,
yes.
A controlled
yes.
version of it. Right?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, because I do agree also with what Nick said about, like, the lack of fear last year was pretty apparent. I don't remember, because you don't want that either. You don't want tentative and nope. And look, if you want to make a comparison there, I would point to another number 8 on that front. Mariota is one of those guys who, like, do they have to be that open for you to throw
turn
it?
Turn it loose.
Yeah, and he does not hesitate with that. He's got a big arm. Again, he's got all the physical tools. But all the physical tools, that's where I a little bit disagree, because Kirk Cousins, another number 8.
A lot of number 8s.
You know, Kirk,
he's 18 in Atlanta, apparently.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We'll see.
But there's a guy who doesn't have all the physical tools, but what he has is, again, I'm now comparing Kirk Cousins to Steph Curry. I'm not, but he has one skill that's, he sees it and it's accurate over and over and over again. So he doesn't have athleticism, he doesn't have a huge arm, any of that stuff. But that's the most important thing. So that's I just don't know if that tangible is good enough with Will Levis. That's my biggest question.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think that's the biggest question for most quarterbacks, right? Is, like, over and over again at the NFL level, can you see the window? Can you put the ball where it needs to be more times than not? And can you do it, by the way, while you're seeing every different kind of look imaginable from the opposition throughout the game? Sometimes it's different than it was pre-snap. I mean, it happens all the time. So, like, it's playing that chess game of, can you thrive in the toughest conditions in the world to play football in? And can you deliver the football accurately while doing it? That's why it is one of, if not the hardest position in professional sports to play and to master. And that's why I get paid as much as they do. I mean, it's very, very difficult. Like, you know, Levis, I still think from a just delivering the football, he can make every throw you want to see him make. I like the athleticism. I like the build. I like the frame. Like, there's so much about him physically to like. And I'm with you on the accuracy stuff. Like, that's something that we're going to have to see as he goes forward here. But that all that other stuff is why the conversation around him nationally this offseason has been so weird to me. It's like, wow, that guy Will Levis, and he's not very good. It's like, well, how do you – like, he's played 9 games. Like, how do you have any idea what he is at this point?
What of those – which of those games was like, oh, God. There were definitely some games that were like, yeah, he looked like a rookie. And, yep, pocket collapsed on him. And, yep, DeAndre Hopkins, the only guy he throws to. And, yep, he wasn't great. But if you actually watch any of those, I did not come away from any of those games saying, oh, okay, now I get why he dropped. Right. I just didn't. So I just don't see that. I think that's just an assumption made by people who don't have the information.
I think it is too. And it's not to say he's going to be great, but like I think that it's okay sometimes just to say, you know what? We don't know. I don't know what he is. And that's a lost art in today's world of, I don't know what Will Levis is. I think we're going to go, I'm going to find out a lot this year. I'm not saying we find out everything this year, but I do think it's fair to expect, given what the Titans have done here, that you're going to find out a pretty good deal about Will Levis this year, what he is, what he's made of, and the type of professional that he projects to be. And maybe it's not totally enough to make a full decision one way or the other on him at the end of the year, but I think a big chunk of the information that you're looking for one way or the other, you're going to find this year in Will Levis. And that's, as Kuharski has pointed out, it's just kind of the way it is in today's NFL too. Like the timeline for these guys is shorter, right or wrong. It just is.
Yeah, no question. I think that an absolute yes, an absolute no would be unlikely. If I had to guess of what it will be, I think it'll be that's a good step. Keep going. You know, that's what I think is going to happen. I don't know what that translates to in record, but I think it's, at the end of the season, it's, again, just forced to predict. Okay, positive direction. Yep. He's definitely the starter again in 2025, and can he take another step? That's, to me, the most likely thing. And it, you know, the offensive line allowing him to be his best is still a huge question to me.
Jared from Spring Hill on the text line. Don't let your best man get carried away with a speech, Keezer. Remind him that he isn't a comedian.
Who's your best man?
My brother.
Nice.
Okay.
So he says he already has it written, too. He was teasing me on our bachelor.
I hope so. Your wedding's in 3 days, dude.
Yes. He has it written, Joe.
I mean, good.
He's had it written for over a month, okay. I feel like, because he's called me to ask questions and just chit-chat, but he has brought up that he's like, be ready.
I will say.
All I'm saying.
Look, I'm very interested. I'm looking forward to the best man speech. I will say, I've been a part of some weddings where those have been some doozies. Like, usually, the shorter the better.
Yeah, I heard one time where someone was referencing a previous relationship at the person's wedding.
There's always the ones going for jokes that don't really land, and then it's just awkward silence there for a minute. It's a tough scene.
Yeah, my little brother and I were each other's best men. His speech was way better than mine. Mine, I went way too much on trying to rip him. As you can, I know that's shocking to hear.
Yeah, I'm shocked.
Might have had too many, Mai Pops. Tais, too.
Yep, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway, Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 1025 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June the 16th. Also tune in for the Indy 500 race on 1025 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 10 a.m. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rowe taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. OTAs for the Tennessee Titans, Joe Rex Rowe. Get excited. They're back on the field. What stands out to you? What are we looking for today at OTAs? Whether that's somebody talking, somebody on the field. What stands out to you about Titans OTAs?
Well, that definitely, I would say, the trenches and the receivers' corners. How much are we going to get to see some of these receivers going against some of these corners? Titans have gotten quite a bit better in both spots, and then we're going to get to see, what are we going to get to see in terms of offensive line, defensive line? What are we talking about in terms of, I don't know what kind of, practice Brian Callahan will have going out there, but.
Will there be profanity? First mute of the day for me, by the way.
Yeah. We've been pretty mute free lately.
We have.
By the way.
Kind of unnerving.
Yeah, it is. Earlier I said the plug was bad in here. It's not. It was my own inability to plug stuff together, but.
It's good to know.
I don't know. Will Brian Callahan, does Brian Callahan have some F-bombs on him? I think we need to keep the expectations low.
I think so.
On that front. So But the rookie thing was very limited. And again, there's a handful of guys out there who, you know, are really going to have any sort of impact on this season. Now you get to, obviously, you get veterans in there. And we'll see, too, like with OTAs, is there anybody who, that's always a question. OTA, that's technically voluntary.
Yep.
And some people don't show up. Usually when people don't show up, there's some kind of contractual thing going on. There's really nobody who would fit that bill with this team now, but it doesn't mean that everybody will be here. I remember, God, how many years ago now? 7 years ago, the big controversy. Derrick Henry is not at OTAs.
Yeah.
And Jarrell Casey kind of called him out, and then Jason Wolf wrote about it, and then it got people got mad at Jason Wolf for writing something that was a fact. But Derrick Henry was going to Alabama to finish his degree. The problem is he just didn't call anybody.
Yeah.
If
pick up phone, Derrick.
If Kaharski had his number, but then he could have gone, Derrick, why aren't you here? But he didn't have his number yet. Now he does. I mean, he can text him little king crowns every day.
You think he texted him yesterday when he was walking out of the field in Baltimore?
I'm so sad with you in that uniform, Derrick.
It did look weird.
It did look weird. So we'll see about the practice. So it's an hour and 20-minute practice from 11:25 to 12:45 today.
All right.
And Callahan, a couple players. They asked us to kind of request players. So I request a bunch of offensive linemen because that's kind of who I'm interested in talking to.
Make sure you wear sunscreen.
What's that?
Make sure you wear sunscreen.
It's on already.
Attaboy.
And I've got a bucket hat.
On already?
I applied it. Well, I mean, I haven't been sweating.
You are pasty. We are all three very pasty, Joe.
Thank you.
That is
true. You need more.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Get back to your vows.
Team mom.
Now, the bucket hat's key, man. Got to have the bucket hat.
No question about it.
So, but we'll see. Are there going to be, I mean, I remember another. Let's see, how many years ago is this one? 3 years ago. It was only 3 years ago. Is that right? Only 3 years ago. Julio Jones just destroying people out there. Oh my God.
That AJ Brown Julio combo is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. So all kinds of overreactions possible at this time of year, but hopefully we'll get some good, even if it's just some drill work with receiver DB, you know, some good sort of head-to-head stuff with some of their best players.
Will Treylon Burks make some plays today? Will he stay healthy and on the field today, too? That would also be something to keep an eye on.
Treylon Burks
Ben on the text line, is Burks able to move around without limping? I would hope that would be the case. Hopefully there's no limping going on today.
Yeah, I mean, I think Burks is healthy and – we'll see. That'll be interesting, too. Actually, there's been all this talk, whatever, you know, Inspector Clouseau. His cheeks are chubby in this picture. What? But Brian Callahan's been pretty effusive in praising him, so we'll see how that looks
starting to get into the territory of my annual conversation. It's not quite there yet. It's more of a training camp thing. But we're getting close to the time of year where it's like, all right, how much of what's happening out there actually means anything at all, and how much of what's happening out there means absolutely nothing when it comes
cheek size.
When it comes to the ability on the field and how that translates to the regular season. I mean, last year in training camp, Treylon Burks looked pretty good, and then Treylon Burks got hurt, and it didn't mean a whole lot. We have seen examples the other way, though. Like, we've seen guys in training camp that have looked really good, and that is translated to the regular season, and they've looked really good. So it's hard to... It's always my favorite time of year. What do we glean? What do we take away from some of these practices?
Well, it's like we saw Arden Key cooking Andre Diller.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, it turns out that meant something. It just meant a little bit more about Diller than it did about Key, right?
Yeah.
We also saw Ola Adeniyi cooking Dylan Raidens. And it meant something about both. I mean, Ola Adeniyi turns out to be kind of a nice little pleasant surprise for a couple of years.
Yep.
And Dylan Raidens was not good. So... There are things that are going to translate, but it's very hard to decipher because sometimes, again, the scale's just tipped. It actually just means this guy is just not good or this guy. You know, sometimes it is. This guy's just really good. I'm trying to think of, like, skill position examples of that. Like, Khalif Raymond is a guy who you noticed, and then he turned out to be, pleasant surprise. Also, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine's first camp was horrific. And I would have said he was like the first guy cut, and here he is continuing to be a really good pro.
Well, even like DBs, right? Like Christian Fulton. I mean, Caleb Farley
in training camp when he was healthy and on the field. And he could look decent in camp. And then you got to the field, and it was just not very good a couple years ago.
So that would have been 22, right?
22.
Yeah, 22. Yeah. Some of that stuff, doesn't it seem more it than a long like time a ago. Two yeah. or 3 years ago?
Lots God, happened since
a
then.
A lot has happened. Everybody's been fired.
Everyone has been fired.
Jared got them all fired.
Titans are tuning in from 2 to 6. It's
a- Who do we fire now, Jared?
Who next? Who next? The Grim Reaper over there. Who are we going after next? No, it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. I mean, the thing that is always like hard to judge, I think, this time of year especially, but even into camp, like how much do you really take away from the offensive line when they're not full contact hitting each other? Like the running backs, it just kind of is what it is. Like Derrick Henry basically was like, go play in the sand for 3 weeks, Derrick, and you can catch up with us in the regular season.
Yeah,
the
so running backs it? Will probably actually be involved in offensive
yeah.
practice
He's running
plays.
Some yeah. routes. That'd yeah. be nice to see. Yeah. But like offensive line, I'm not saying you can't learn anything over the next few months here before they start to play actual games, but that is a position that's just so reliant on contact that I think you really start to learn once the pads are put on.
One thing that, and it may not be today, maybe it's mandatory mini camp, whenever that is in this interminable offseason, or maybe it's camp, but J.C. Latham, as you would think, is going to see a lot of Harold Landry.
You would think.
And that's, for the most part, that's where Landry comes from, and that's where Latham's going to be. And so that's a great look for him. If he, and we know, and that's the thing, we know what Landry is. Landry's really freaking good.
He's a good player.
So if I see J.C. Latham staying in front of him, showing some good punch, because the pass rush, you get good reps. It's just the tackling to the ground that you really don't get, right? And you don't get the run blocking
yeah.
really the same level. But, like, pass sets and your punch and other, you're moving your feet, you know?
Hard key. Camp special.
Yeah. Well, and then well, first game he was an all pro.
What if
they had like three sacks in the first half?
He did.
Like
what
that?
If Arden Key lines up in camp this year and is just cooking J.C. Latham for a few days? What's the reaction to that?
Well,
be?
There that's a very different reaction.
Yeah.
Right.
So like, oh no.
Right. Like if Landry does it, it's like he's getting a good look. We know that guy's good, yeah. and he's a 12 sack guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Key does it. It's like oh,
it's not good.
But I don't know. Again, maybe Key has like. Because Key is streaky, so maybe it's like he was at his absolute peak, and then he carried it into the first game and then sort of
disappeared.
Fizzled a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Andre Dillard also turned out to be even worse than we thought.
He did. Now he's in camp with the Green Bay Packers. That's fun.
Aren't you excited about yep. that? Is he like their swing tackle?
I think he's like their fourth or fifth tackle.
Okay. That's.
So, I guess that's okay.
That's fine. Like
he may not make the team, so there's that.
Yeah.
But we'll see. 615-737. That's a better spot for him yes. rather than starting. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans plus the conference final in the National Hockey League is set after last night. What do we make of the matchups? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland, a fun new concept by Chef Sean Brock, designed to spread joy through his love of cheeseburgers, shakes, buttermilk biscuits, fries, and fried chicken. Get half off a $30 Joyland gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, some real quick college football stuff that I think you'll find interesting. Georgia quarterback Jaden Rashada, who was originally committed to Florida, is apparently suing head coach Billy Napier and top Florida Gators boosters for fraud, among other allegations, over a failed $13.85 million NIL deal.
Yeah.
Suing. There's a first step in all that.
Well, that whole thing was a mess. So that is the absolute classic example of prospect getting misinformation on us. Think about that number. My God,
that's a lot of money.
And boy, does that spice up world's greatest cocktail party, huh?
It sure does.
Got a lot of court case stuff going on there. NCAA's
just waving from the sideline. Hey, coach! How we doing?
Just serve him papers as he runs by. wow. Well, that's interesting.
I'll take that in 20s.
Like, lawyers are just absolutely getting so freaking rich off, like, college sports.
They
it's
are.
Incredible. You got the NCAA trying to avoid a $20 billion hit right now with a potential settlement to take it down to, like, $3 billion, or $2.7 billion.
Yeah.
And this, you know, back pay of NIL for some, and then they're trying to like make smaller schools pay for it. It's what a glorious mess.
But think about that, just like being offered allegedly that much money and then having zero way to come through and pay it. Like that's a tough way of the world right now for NIL. I guarantee you that's not the only place where that's happened.
No, but like. That place, yeah. You know, you think about a place like that to not have your house in order to the point with because come on, the collectives are just taking cues from the coaches.
Yeah.
And it's just the financial arm, right, of the program or the school. Like to for a place like that, an institution, a program like Florida,
indeed,
to be that jacked up, man. I mean, Billy Napier, if he gets fired, it's going to be because he's not winning enough, but. And I have, again, if he, there's a, we have this really long story about this whole situation. It's a mess. But I think that is some reflection on him.
I would say so. Interested to see where that one goes.
Yeah. Well, settle for a couple mil, and yeah. Napier could hand it to him at the, you know, just give him a briefcase at the game.
Visors he could buy Kirby Smart with all that money? Kirby, get your new shipment in today. Here you go. The conference final in the National Hockey League is set. Vancouver and Edmonton in Game 7 last night. Edmonton jumps out to a 3-0 lead. Vancouver with two goals in the third period to make things very interesting down the stretch at 3-2. But Edmonton holds on. So the conference finals are set. Dallas taking on Edmonton in the Western Conference. The Florida Panthers and the New York Rangers in the Eastern Conference. The Eastern Conference final gets underway tomorrow. And then Thursday will be the Oilers and the Stars. What do you make of those matchups? I think it's a great Final Four in the NHL.
I'm very excited about it. All due respect to the Canucks. Great story this year. They're one of the best stories in the NHL. I think Rick Tocco probably edge out Andrew Burnett for the Jack Adams Award for Coach of the Year. I want to watch the Oilers play more, and I want to see that series. And just obviously it's, what, the second time now to the conference final?
Correct.
For the Oilers in the McDavid era, and it's time.
They got swept last time.
It's time to take another step here. And I think Dallas is maybe the best team. You picked them to win it all, didn't you?
I did.
You devil you, because they look awfully good. I hope that's a great series. I don't think I need to hope for Rangers-Panthers to be a great series.
No.
Like that one not going seven would be such a disappointment. I think it's going to be a great series.
I would rank the four most likely Stanley Cup champions this way. Dallas at number one. I would go Florida 2, barely. Rangers 3, and Edmonton 4. I don't think the margin is like that big, but I think Dallas is the deepest team to me. Florida's got a pretty good argument. Like, Florida and the Rangers are both really good. Like, you're splitting hairs when you're talking about Florida and the Rangers. Edmonton, I still in the back of my mind, as good as McDavid and Draisaitl are, and I think McDavid might be playing through something right now. Like, he's just not really shooting. So, and he got his butt kicked in the faceoff circle, which tells me, like, he might be dealing with something upper body. But I still wonder if, like, Stuart Skinner is just going to have an absolute implosion. And you can't have that against the Stars if you're going to win.
So, I picked the Rangers going to the playoffs. I'm picking them now. So, I guess I'd put them first. But, like, Rangers, Stars, Panthers, it's like any of the three. And then, yes, I think then there's a gap with the Oilers. But, hey. That's an interesting point by you, because it does look like something's off.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get better.
Probably not. I mean, he's still – the thing is, though, if it's upper body, like, it's not good, but at least he can still move. Like, that's what separates him anyway, is his ability to – I mean, a lot of things separate him, but his ability to skate is unbelievable. I mean, last night they won the game without McDavid or Draisaitl really doing anything, right? I mean, they scored three goals, won the game, and neither one of those guys – really had an impact on the game. So, I mean, look, I'm not gonna leave it under the it could absolutely happen where McDavid and Draisaitl just take over in the Western Conference Final. There's nothing Dallas can do about it, and that's the difference. I think Dallas is the best overall team right now.
That's fair. We got a texter on the Mavs Timberwolves. Also excited about that.
NBA
Final Four, I hope, is good. Pacers, Celtics, I hope.
I think the Celtics might win both of the next two series in like five or six games.
Yeah, I hope not, man. God, so sick of them. No more championships for the Celtics, or really Boston.
In general.
Boston has enough. They've had enough. But especially the Celtics. Please no more ever for the Celtics.
I mean, the last time they won, I guess, was 2008 when they had Garnett, Pierce, and Rondo.
Anything is possible!
Ray Allen and all that stuff. Yeah, that was...
Yes.
So it's been a minute since they've won it. Like, honestly, the way things have lined up here, if they don't win it this year, I mean, people are going to just freak out up there in Boston. I mean, it's lined up pretty well for them to win.
Yeah. No, at this point, especially the way it looks right now, because I think maybe like Max Nuggets would be, right, you know, your defending champ. The way things look right now, it would be a huge letdown if they don't win it all. So I'm here for it.
I am too. I would love to see it. I'm rooting heavily for the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of confidence. But
that's
we'll
of the four series between hockey and basketball, that's the least likely to be great.
I agree.
And the most likely to be great is, I think, Rangers-Panthers for
I
sure.
think it's going to be awesome. And we have determined there will be a former Nashville Predator that wins the Stanley Cup. It will either be Ekholm in Edmonton.
Which most people, I think, would root for.
Suter, Duchesne, Craig Smith in Dallas.
Which they would not.
Nick Cousins, if you want to count that.
No one gives Florida. A crap.
And then Peter Laviolette behind the bench with the New York Rangers.
That's interesting. That could be a maybe Chasing Big Joe. If you guys don't have a question, are you rooting for Peter Preds fans? Are you rooting for Peter Laviolette? Would you be happy if Peter Laviolette wins a cup with the New York Rangers?
If they get past this series, you're talking a cup with Carolina. He took the Flyers to the final in 2010. Obviously, the Preds to the final in 2017, and this would be the Rangers to the final. That's four different groups to the final. That's pretty darn impressive.
So Lavi, though, he's got more Predator staff with him. Doesn't it Muse and Housley as well?
Yes, they're both there, too.
So there you go.
Yep. I'm sure
the people are very excited about that.
Yep.
All right, back to your vows. Any other advice for Nick today? I mean, we got all week to give Nick a wedding advice.
Wedding advice on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yeah. We may have to tie like a ticket giveaway to it tomorrow. The best advice for Nick Kieser.
Okay. I like that.
What do we think?
Yeah, I'm here for
it. We'll get Kuharsky's advice for tomorrow, too, which I'm sure Kieser is very much looking forward to.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, wait 30 years to have a child or something? I don't know.
That was Glenn's advice to you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. True.
615-737-1025, our phone number.
Don't get gout. That's my advice.
That's right. Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 1025-1063, The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.